This is a day which the Lord has made. We will. Amen. And I tell you what, that takes a strong person, no matter what you're facing, to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Last week we talked about a couple questions, and one of the questions I asked you is, what do you want from your church? Remember I said, but what do you truly want from your church? What do you really want from your church? And I said, this book contains an awful lot of things, and it talks about love and forgiveness a whole bunch. It talks about praying in there. And we talked about love last week. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And we read some different things that the Bible promises out of that. Love what? Never fails. And it tells us what love is and what love is not. Faith, hope, love, we read as well. And the greatest of these is love. We read out of Philippians 2, and it talked about unity of the church body through our humility. It said having the same love and looking out for the interest of one another rather than just ourselves. And then 1 John 4, God is love. It says, for those of us that abide in His love, He will abide in us. Love. All things revolve and evolve from and around love. And we also mentioned forgiveness. And I want us to listen, because forgiveness, we can say we have love for one another. But where we don't forgive, and we have our reasons, and we want to justify why we can't, I want you to listen to the definition from a psychologist on what forgiveness is. And I want you to listen very carefully. Young people, Falls Creek age type kids, listen as well. This is important for your age group as much as my age group, and those in between, and those older, and whatever. All ages. Now the rest of us, same thing. It's just as important for us to listen to. But I don't want our young people to miss that. And it says forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision. We can stop right there. Oh, I'm out. You know, we can say this disqualifies me because I can't make a conscious or deliberate decision to forgive this person or that person because of this or that. But it says a conscious or deliberate decision to release feelings, of resentment or vengeance. And I don't know that one's worse than the other. Resentment or vengeance. They both cause bitterness. Bitterness pushes out love. Pushing out love causes us to separate ourselves further and further from Christ. It says to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. That's a tough one. Now, it said a person or group. Well, that whole family. Is it through association from the person and you've added the group? Well, this group of those people, because I saw the way three or four behaved, I threw the whole group in. Oh, by the way, those teenagers, that ground zero group, was it because one person upset you? Or did the whole group? No one said that. I'm just throwing that out there as an example. Okay. Those pastors. Both of us? Or the whole group in the world? Or one of what? What is it? And it says, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. It says, it further says that forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing offenses. I think it is so important for us to understand the meaning of forgiveness before we just say, hey, forgive one another. You don't understand what I'm going through. I know that. But the whole reason behind forgiveness, and I want to focus on that for just a minute, conscious and deliberate, as Christ followers, every day we have to make conscious and deliberate choices to do or to not do things. Every day. And this forgiveness, that is one part of it. We have to make a conscious and deliberate decision to love one another. We can apply this to so many things as Christ followers, as disciples of Christ. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. How? By making conscious and deliberate decisions every day to do right and to follow the examples of Jesus Christ. But this says for forgiveness, to release feelings. Now, those feelings, you know, I've done this before up here, okay? Spin around 100 times, okay? Point north. That doesn't matter. That's a feeling. That doesn't mean that it's right. Feeling doesn't mean factual. Feeling is something you believe. We talked about being happy. That's a feeling. But joy is something that comes from inside of us, right? Joy is something that, well, again, we make a conscious and deliberate decision to see and find joy inside of us through Jesus Christ. So it's to release feelings of resentment and vengeance. We've already talked about those things that push away and push out love. Think about in your own families. Are there people that have upset you, hurt you, frustrated you, angered you, turned on you? And you have those feelings of resentment or vengeance. Oh, I want to get even with them. But this says, as Christ followers, we're to release those. Because they've harmed us. And harm, oh Lordy, harm is a relative term, is it not? They harmed me. Well, they didn't mean anything by that. Everyone else knew that but you. They just spoke out of ignorance, or they just spoke saying something thinking it was funny, but they didn't harm you. Well, it harmed you. So you feel like someone has done you wrong. But the biggest thing to me in this is you do this regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and he looked down and said, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. But Jesus Christ said, they actually did deserve my forgiveness. You see, I'm up here on this cross to forgive people of their sins. He said, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here on this cross. That's why I'm dying. Because they're sinners, and I want to give them a different way to go before the Father. And then in the end, as a reminder says, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. If I forgive them for what they've done, that means I forgot all about it. No, it doesn't. It says you release those feelings you had. That says that I agree and it's okay for what they did, and it is not okay for what they did to me or my family or whatever, my spouse, my children, my parents. It's not condoning that. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And it doesn't mean that you're condoning it. And it also doesn't say that you're making excuses for them to continue on that same thing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 is where we'll start today. And really there's a lot of scriptures that cover forgiveness. But this is the one that I'm choosing to start with. And this seems to be kind of in line with where we are sometimes. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" Now this sounds like our question to him afterwards, in our own answer. Lord, should it be up to 7 times? Because they're at 6.5 and I'm on the verge of the last time, Lord. Doesn't that sound like us? Oh, they've hurt me so many times. How many times? I mean, Lord, should it really be up to 7? And poor Peter, blown away, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's a whole bunch of forgiving. Okay? That is a whole bunch of forgiving, people. And Jesus said, this is a standard I have. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. But then the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the entire debt. You owe me this. Sell him, his wife, his children, everything he has. I'll give my money. Master, please forgive me. I will pay this back." And moved with compassion, the master forgave all the debt. Verse 28, "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He said, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all." The same phrase he used against his master. But this guy would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now I want us to think about this for a minute. You can say, well, I don't owe people money. Okay. But have you gone before God and said, God, if this, I'll pay it back. I'll be good to you, God. Those type of things. And then went off to follow your own ways. Oh, and by the way, went and chased people down to say, you owe me, or you said you would do this for me, now do it, when someone has released you from that same commitment. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I'm thinking, we probably ought to pay attention to that. Because we don't want him to come back with his judgment and say, yes, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, but your brother you did not forgive. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. And we're talking about the new man. And I really love this scripture about the new man and the things that it talks about, that we should put on the new man. It's not that we should. It's when we receive Jesus Christ that the new man is put on us. But for some reason, we keep wanting to dig up the old man. Sometimes just to poke it and see what's going on. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greed, with greediness." And I thought, man, we don't want to be here week in and week out from church and still continue to walk in that darkness and being blind, having their understanding darkened. And this says we're alienated from God when we walk and live that way. Verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man," is telling us, stop behaving the way you used to. "The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." The new man that we receive came from Christ. Created according to God. And it goes on and tells us in verse 29, "Don't let any corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And then verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." But I love this last sentence. And it says, "And be kind to one another." There's nothing wrong with that. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." My Lord, there's the example we were given again. He says there's an example right here that I gave you. God in Christ forgave you. Forgave your debt. You also should forgive one another. Forgive their debt. Don't seek them out, lay hands on them, grab them by the throat, and say, "You owe me." Trust me, if Jesus Christ walked in here and started collecting debts on us, we'd all be in a mess of trouble, I'm sure. Some He may grab a little lighter, and some He'd grab a little tighter. But we don't want that. He says, "I've given you this example." And again, that's why we take time during the week to examine ourselves and spend time in this to say, "Oh man, it told me to do that. And yesterday I had this situation and I didn't do that. Now what?" Put on the new man. Forgive one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, it says. We forgive one another. Why? Because Christ forgave us. Stay right there where you are, but I'm going to flip over. You can flip if you want. Colossians chapter 3. And I love, as you study the Bible and you get through those and you think, "I could have sworn I read this." Yeah, you did. It's in so many places emphasizing the fact that it's true and you should follow it. But in Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15, again, we have the character of the new man that it's talking about. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering or patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Well, that's very similar to what I just read in Ephesians. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But listen to this, going back to last week. But above all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And he goes on to say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Whatever you do in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the same thing we just read in Ephesians, the character of the new man, put on the new man, and with this comes patience, being tender-hearted, being gentle with one another, forgiving one another. And it tells us the same thing. Forgive one another. Why? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now I think to a degree that fear of the Lord has left us. And we think, well, we can just kind of pick and choose. And following this, it's just so hard to do these days. Man, try being a Corinthian way back in the day. We're studying that on Wednesday night Bible studies. Temples with 1,000 prostitutes was a major part in that town. 1,000. In this gigantic town, thriving with a couple ports in it. And you think they didn't have decisions to make? Well, that's where Corinthians came from. Paul said, hey, I put this church in the middle of this crazy town, and I hear you're not quite doing things right. You see, we set up this beautiful Lord's table, but man, you're just eating and stuffing yourself before others that are hungry. And rather than having a little drink, you're throwing them back. And you're becoming drunk at these things. And the conduct in church and at church, well, you're not quite behaving yourselves like Jesus wanted you to. Which is why he has these reminders. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll close with that. In Matthew chapter 5, and I don't know about you, but the heading in my Bible says, murder begins in the heart. And I thought, oh Lord, what a heading. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. He says, I don't want that gift right now. I want you to go reconcile yourself first. That's more important. You know, when we talk about forgiveness, as Christ followers, a lot of times we fall in the worldly trap. And we want to wait for the apology. or we want to demand an apology. I want to forgive you, but I need you to confess what you did and acknowledge that you did it. It's not talking about that. Okay, you're living in the world when you want to wait around for an apology, when you want to demand an apology. Because forgiveness comes from the heart and not from the flesh. Forgiveness does not wait for the setting to be right. And that's tough. Because I know many people have been through a lot of tough stuff that I couldn't imagine. But you know, Jesus went and he allowed himself to go to this cross. And he's making that journey. He says, I know I can stop this journey, but I know I've got to go to this. And when I get to this thing, they're going to pull out some of these. And they're going to drive it through my hand and my feet. And you see, I know what you're going through. And I know what you've been through. That's Jesus talking, not me. Jesus says, I know. And I know the situations that you're going to face. And the things that are going to come against you. And I know the abuse that's happened. I know the abuse that will take place. I know the hurt. I know the disease. I know the illness. I know the death that has hurt you. And sometimes we're mad at God and we say, God, you have harmed me because you didn't answer my prayer to heal so and so. He says, you missed the point. They are healed now in death. And that's hard for us to get here on earth. Because by God, we want our loved ones here with us. And we think, God, you could have done this. You could have healed them. God, you could have seen this happen. They could have avoided that. God said, yeah, I know. God still loves you. God still answers your prayers. Thirty-one years ago yesterday, my father passed away. And I thought, man, for those years, I was so blessed. Now, I was hurt then. Many of you have heard my story. I was hurt then. Shortly after that, I said, forget it, God, I'm out of here. And I just turned and went the other way. Just ignored him completely. Remember earlier we were talking about knowing where you're at and looking back. And there was a point in time I looked back and said, I don't know where I'm at and I don't know how to get where I need to go. And this crazy little youth group popped up. And a couple crazy little girls invited my daughter there. And I've told you, I was a guy sitting out in the parking lot going, gosh, where is she? Beep, beep, flash the lights. I know she sees me sitting here. But it was through this church, it's just the thought to say, Easter Sunday, why don't we go try that church where Brittany goes to youth group? We have no connection there other than dropping her off and picking her up. Great is the day when someone else volunteers to drop her off or pick her up because I don't have to be here. That used to be my thought. I get sometimes we're mad at God. Forgiveness doesn't wait for an apology. It doesn't demand an apology. It comes from the heart. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. I know some of you struggle with your own past and maybe things that you have done, things that you have allowed, things that have happened, and you may struggle to forgive yourself. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean you condone what happened. And it doesn't excuse what happened. It just releases you through a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment against yourself or another and vengeance toward yourself or another. Regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. And you may think, I don't deserve His forgiveness. Forget that. That's the enemy talking. He went to the cross so that you could have that forgiveness and so you could be free, and keeping yourself bound up is no good for Him. So if that's you, I just want you to forgive yourself today. Let's go to the Lord before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your forgiveness, which gave us not only the example, but the power to forgive others. Your death on the cross that freed us. Your desire for us to be free and not bound. Lord, where the enemy exists today and is holding these members down, those listening, where the enemy is holding them back and holding them down from mistakes they have made, Lord, would You free them today? Give them the strength to forgive themselves and forgive others. Lord, where there's resentment and anger from many years ago, from family, from friends, whatever it is, Lord, that today is a day of forgiveness. Today is a day of freedom. Today is a day that we can rejoice. This is a day which You have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us do that with forgiveness. Lord, help us to reflect and examine our path and see where we are, so that we don't look back and find out we have no idea where we are, and no possible way of knowing how to get where we need to be. Lord, for those who need help, please give them strength and boldness to reach out. Reach out to Pastor Eric or myself, Lord. Don't let them get to the end of the week and realize that they've turned to themselves for help and forgot about You. Lord, help us, as we spoke of the character of the new man earlier, just to remember the strength we have in the new man, where we came from, and where You desire us to be. Lord, through our actions and our words, let us glorify You. Let us be light and salt to those we come in contact with, that we may reflect Your love and Your light, and that it be brighter and greater day by day. We ask these things in Your Son's name.